This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Dustin Yard.
And I'm Prakhar Sachdev.
And you're tuned into On The Ball, a weekly sports podcast. Today we'll bring you the preview from all the big games of the English Premier League Game Week 14. But before we move on to those, there's some exciting news coming out of the Premier League. Arsenal Football Club have just announced the sacking of their manager Unai Emery. And I guess, Prakhar, this is the first thing we need to discuss today before we move on to anything else.
Being an Arsenal fan, what's your take? You should have something a bit to say on this.
Well, you would have gauged by my tone and choice of the word exciting that...
You are happy. Arsenal fans are happy.
The performances, to be fair, haven't been that great in recent weeks. Also, last night was really dire. You know, Arsenal playing Eintracht Frankfurt at home. Frankfurt aren't even in the top four of the Bundesliga. And Arsenal manages 11 shots. And this was just a few days after having 12 shots against Southampton. So it hasn't been great times as an Arsenal fan. The football that we were used to, the exciting Wenger ball that we've been spoiled with for this long. Of course, the end days weren't that great, but it's been really disappointing. The stadium was almost empty. Frankfurt did not have their fans there for that game. It was a ban. But even the Arsenal fans had just boycotted the stadium. And I think that was one of the biggest signs for the management to act quickly.
And I guess the tipping point was when Emery lost the control over the dressing room, with him getting into problems with Xhaka. And so that was when the thing started going really downhill.
Definitely, yeah. He hasn't had that control as such, because even at the start of the season, he was criticized for his choice of captain, where the team players voted and then Xhaka was picked. And we all know the ongoing tussle with Mesut Ozil, who was kept out of the squad for so long, the club's highest earner. There have been more downs than ups in this season especially. So I think this was a long time coming, this decision.
But with every sacking comes every new appointment.
Yes.
Now Emery is gone, he's passed in Arsenal's history. But what's next? Now social media is abuzz. Who will be the next appointment? Of course, a caretaker manager has been appointed for Arsenal, and that's...
Yeah, club legend Freddie Ljungberg is there. So legend because he was part of the Invincible squad, let's not forget.
Yes.
So he'll be taking over.
But as the statement goes, he's a caretaker manager. So definitely there's going to be a new manager. I guess after the end of the season or in a short while, but... That's what makes Premier League sacking sport all the more interesting. Who would you want to prefer? Pochettino?
Well, we've spoken about this in one of the last podcasts.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have made my feelings clear. Pochettino would be a good signing. He is also a manager who wouldn't come and demand big money signings. You've seen he's made the most out of what little he had at Tottenham. And I also feel Pochettino is a manager who could stay long term. He is someone who builds squads and he comes with his own backroom staff and he's there to stay. And as speculation season goes now following the sacking, there are also some other exciting names thrown into the mix. There's the Wolves manager, Nuno Espirito Santo, who has done extremely well since being promoted. They were promoted last season and they already look like a mainstay in the top 10. And they are challenging, in fact,
For Europa League spot.
And they are number 5 above Arsenal on the table. So Nuno Espirito Santo would be an interesting option for the Gunners. He also plays an exciting brand of football. There's Max Allegri, who was sacked by Juventus and hasn't taken up anything as such. But I think he is waiting on the fence because the Bayern Munich job is also vacant. So Allegri could go anyway. And it's time to bring this name up. There's a wildcard entrant in Julian Nagelsmann. He's managing RB Leipzig in the Bundesliga.
One of the youngest managers.
One of the youngest.
In top flight football.
Yeah, and he is known to bring out the best in players. I was just reading an article the other day about how Nkunku, who was from PSG linked with Arsenal, he went to Leipzig and he's been doing really well now. And before this, he was also at Hoffenheim, and we've seen Joelinton coming out of Hoffenheim into Newcastle. So he's known to bring out the best. And the stats are baffling. Nagelsmann's team have scored 33 goals in the Bundesliga. That is the highest number, and it's matched only by Bayern Munich, who have, of course, Robert Lewandowski just plundering goals in there. And at the same time, his team have also conceded fewer goals than Bayern Munich, which gives them the best goal difference there. So he is an exciting manager, and that's the brand of football that Arsenal have been associated with in the past. So that would be an interesting signing.
But before walking in for this podcast, I read this interesting bit. Now that Pochettino would be one of the front runners for Arsenal's job, But the thing is, United are also struggling with Solsa. And there are news that if United have a plan of parting ways with Solsa, then he might be sacked very soon. So then United can take in Pochettino, or Pochettino might go to Arsenal. But this is a very short clip that I just saw. Pochettino, in one of his press conferences while being at Tottenham Hotspur, he said, no, I will never go to Arsenal. So who knows? But Premier League is a very strange thing. We saw Mourinho telling 10 different things to 10 different teams, and then he ended up at Manchester United, and now he has ended up at Tottenham Hotspur. So this is what makes Premier League such an exciting thing.
I guess it's also sometimes you've got to say things when you're at a particular job and to appeal to the Tottenham fans.
The
Pochettino did seem genuine when he said that. He said Tottenham is so much in my DNA now, and he spent six long years. He said it wouldn't appeal to me to leave and move to Arsenal. But the point is, he did not leave Tottenham, he was sacked. So this could spark a change in approach for him. And as you rightly said, it could be a race if Arsenal are seriously considering Pochettino. And Man U have long admired Pochettino. Before Solskjaer, they were trying to get Pochettino in. And they couldn't turn his head with the project that they had. But now it could just be a race between these two clubs. And let's not forget, this might not be the last sacking we see this season. Since we're already on
as
to
we
this.
Will see, as we will go into the preview of matches, we will see there are two or three other managers in line. And as early as the start of next week, by Monday, we could have few more managers getting sacked. So, but interesting times.
Let's start with Arsenal's game itself. Since they are going away to newly promoted Norwich City, who have somehow lost their way since beating Manchester City at home. They had a poor run of fixtures. But how are they looking now, Prakar?
So, as you said, with the team that beat Manchester City at home, people thought we are getting a new exciting team promoted into Premier League, but that team is long gone. But Norwich snapped a miserable run by winning 2-0, but it was against another struggling team in Everton. They could have thought of the kind of problems that Arsenal are in. The Norwich manager could have thought that yes, this is a chance for me to at least put two wins in a row. But now, definitely with Unai Emery gone, a caretaker manager in, players would be relieved of the pressure that they were in, and a fresh look Arsenal would be on display, as we saw in case of Tottenham. As soon as Mourinho came in, a different fresh look Tottenham side was on display in their first match under Mourinho. So Norwich could have thought that this was their chance to put two wins in a row, but now I think Arsenal will come back. And definitely, now I think Arsenal will start favourite. Before the news broke in, I thought, yes, this is Norwich's turn, because they will enjoy home comfort, a win in their favour. But now I think with this news, Norwich will be pushed on back foot. What about Arsenal then? What big changes can we now see?
Well, before we move on to the changes, let me just say that this last defeat against Frankfurt extended their winless run to 7 games. That's their longest winless run since 1992. Okay, Wenger had never gone 7 games without a win. But of course, the change in manager changes the whole approach to this game, because the players who were looking a bit tired, they were looking a bit stale. We saw Lacazette did not even celebrate his goal against Southampton, the 96th minute equaliser. Now we might just see an energised Arsenal squad, and with the amount of quality that they have in that team, all Freddie Ljungberg needs to do is just instill a philosophy into the game that's consistent into the team and which they could carry forward with. We've seen Emery has been struggling, tinkering, trying out different formations. In fact, in last night's game, David Luiz was playing as a defensive midfielder. Okay. It looked like he was playing with a back three, but he was trying something new there, because we know he has that quality, is David Luiz. But Arsenal do have players in that position, which we do not require to push a player out of position at this moment. So if Ljungberg can get that combination right, Norwich would be in trouble for this fixture.
But what about Xhaka? So now he will be in back amongst things?
Well, Xhaka was included in the Europa League game in midweek against Frankfurt, and the crowd did receive him pretty well. The fans were cheering certain passes. His name was met with applause, not boos, around the stadium. But then again, there was an issue at the end of the game when Xhaka was seen smiling and sharing a word with few of his FC Basel teammates who now play for Frankfurt. Now, you cannot blame Xhaka for sharing a light word with his former teammates, but a few fans do not like it, and social media is always abuzz with opinions. So that is where that's coming from. although I think he did have a good, decent enough game from the standards that you can expect from Xhaka, it will be interesting to see if Ljungberg sticks with his selection for his first game in charge.
Sure. Interesting times for London.
Yes,
so definitely. We are looking at a revamped London now.
Well, quick predictions on this game, Prakar. How do you see this playing out?
1-0 for Arsenal.
Oh, the 1-0 to the Arsenal.
Yes.
Well, I think if Arsenal get going, there's no stopping them. And Norwich are also a team who love playing attacking football, being at home. So I'm looking at a high-scoring game again. I think it could be either 3-1 or a 3-2 to Arsenal. Well, moving on to the table toppers, Liverpool, who welcome Brighton. How are Liverpool's perspectives looking for this game, Prakar?
Well, see, there are two Liverpools turning up this season. One that we see in Champions League and the one that we see in Premier League. In Champions League, in midweek, at home they manage, and somehow we are not able to crack this Napoli code.
Yeah.
And at home they manage a 1-1 draw, which has kind of made their progression into the next stage of Champions League still dicey.
Yeah.
We have still not confirmed, while the team like Tottenham, they are through to the next next 16, but Liverpool are still not they're in top 16, and with this 1-1 draw we need to win our last game
at Salzburg.
Salzburg, and that is away, and Liverpool's away record in Champions League for past two seasons have not been that great. But when it comes to Premier League, they are a brilliant side.
Yeah.
And with 39 points in the bag and still 8 points clears off the second place Leicester, they are brilliant side. But
just to put that into perspective, we are talking about a Napoli side who are very much in crisis, which Liverpool could not break down to.
Yes.
For all our listeners, the last win for Napoli was way back in October. They've been winless since. The ownership and the players have been in a constant tussle. The ownership wanted to keep the players in something that's called a retreat, and they call it a retiro, where they keep the players confined to a hotel room, no going home, and you just train, come back, train, come back. The players, of course, rebelled against this, and after a draw against Red Bull Salzburg in their last outing in the Champions League, they just flat out refused to get back into that retiro. And that's where Carlo Ancelotti came under pressure, and there have been talks that he might be sacked now because he did not enforce this what the management wanted. So even against a side like that, we saw Ancelotti just put them in straight lines on that pitch, and Liverpool struggled to break that defense. Do you think this will trouble Liverpool again if Brighton set up defensively?
Yes, and Liverpool like teams that attack them. They hate the teams that sit back.
Jurgen Klopp loves teams that attack
them. Yes, so that because then it gives Liverpool's attack more space to go out and counter press them. So if Brighton does copy what Napoli did, then it might be difficult for Liverpool in this match to crack Brighton. And although they will be playing at home, and on top of it, injuries have started piling for Liverpool. Salah was injured, although he did come back in the Champions League match, so that should make him quite a possible starter for a match against Brighton. But then in match against Napoli, we lost our midfielder Fabinho, and he was out injured, and he's surely not going to play this weekend. So if one player is getting fit, another vital player is getting injured. And as we discussed in the previous episode of this podcast, Liverpool are in a run where their schedule is very packed. They will have to play a match every 2 to 3 days, and that's when Klopp would have wanted all his players to be at the peak of their fitness, but that's not happening, and the setbacks are coming in form of injuries. So that's kind of a troubling situation there. So then again, it's Anfield. They will draw a lot of confidence from the fact that they will be playing at home, and from the fact that at home they have been undefeated for 44 matches at stretch, and on top of it, with their last win in Premier League, now they have been undefeated for 30 matches in the league. So those numbers are quite staggering. But if these numbers work in favor of Liverpool, there's one interesting fact that I read. Liverpool are currently endearing their worst clean sheet record since 1998.
Is it?
Yes. The Reds have conceded in each of their 11 matches across the competitions, and the only 3 matches where they kept clean sheet was when Adrian was keeping for the Reds, and when our regular goalkeeper
Alisson
was out injured. So not sure. Alisson is still one of the top goalkeepers in the world, but not sure. Maybe Klopp would want to get Adrian back, and trust me, Adrian did impress. There were some doubters that how will Adrian do in the shadows of Alisson, but Adrian did a quite a decent job. But we are not keeping clean sheets. What about Brighton?
Well, the big news out of Brighton is that they've given a contract extension to their manager Graham Potter. It's coming just 6 months after he joined from Swansea. But he has done a decent job with the team. We've seen that they are now at 12th in the table and they are challenging to be in the top 10. And they play this nice, interesting style where they build up from the back with those short passes. Of course, they cannot do that against Liverpool because trying to play out from the back against a team that draws its greatest strength from its press is just shooting yourself in the foot. But they might pose a challenge to Liverpool. I don't see them upsetting the apple cart too much though. They won 3-2 against Everton and 2-0 against Norwich. But since then, they lost to Man U and Leicester at home that too. So it's going to be a baptism by fire for Potter after this new contract. Because he's playing Liverpool, then he plays Arsenal, and then he plays Wolves in the next game. And defeat in all these three matches could see them slip into the relegation zone. So they do need to get something out of this game. But whether they'll manage that, it's a tough say. Well, predictions for this game, Prakar, how do you see this playing out?
2-1 for Liverpool.
Yeah, I think it might be this, around the same results. A 2-1 hard-fought victory for Liverpool. Moving on to the champions who travelled to Newcastle to take on Steve Bruce's side. Well, City have been struggling of late, haven't they, Prakar?
Yes, and just like Liverpool, City also managed a 1-1 draw at home in Champions League against Shakhtar.
Yeah.
Things not going quite well for City. But if you just rewind a week back, they were brilliant against Chelsea. They conceded, but then they came back. It could have been a, if not for the controversial third goal by Raheem Sterling.
Again, we saw an armpit was offside in that one.
So, that was not given. It could have been a 3-1 coming from behind, but they won 2-1. So that shows that they still have the goal scoring capacities. But yes, as you said, they are not as good a Manchester City team as we have seen in past two seasons. And that may be because the kind of relentless football that City have played in past two seasons. The players, at times, they look kind of jaded. When they take the field, they don't feel that confident about themselves, and injuries are also...
I think injuries have played a major role in this.
And most importantly, the attacking midfielders are there and their forwards are also there. But it's the back line that again and again there's some important defenders get injured and that's not helping.
Although I think Otamendi is back now from his injury. So we could see him and Stones pairing up in central defence, right? And that might free up Fernandinho to go up.
Yes.
Well, Newcastle...
What about Newcastle?
Newcastle, interestingly, were the team which spurred City to the title last year. And this is by beating City. It was an interesting game where Aguero scored in the first minute and City later came back and won it 2-1. And after that, Manchester City just won everything in the Premier League. They went on an incredible winning run. But this time, Newcastle have pulled out some big results. They've beaten Tottenham 1-0 at Tottenham. They've also beaten Manchester United at home. Although right now they're coming away from a 2-0 defeat at Aston Villa where they were completely outplayed by the newly promoted side. So I do not know how much they would challenge for this. But of course a few injury concerns are also there for this side. But Sean Longstaff will be back for Newcastle which should give them a stronger midfield position. But I do not see them troubling Manchester City much. I think City might cruise to a 3-0 victory. What about you, Prasad?
Well, before I give out my predictions, here's an interesting observation. This is one of the match that City would be desperately wanting to win. And I will tell you why. Because then City go into December with a trip to Burnley, which will be followed by Manchester Derby. And then they take on Arsenal, Leicester, Wolves. And they close their December with a match against Sheffield United.
Oh.
So if you see, Wolves are impressive, are in a good form. Sheffield are one of the teams to watch out for in this season. You never know what happens in a Manchester derby. And with Arsenal now, with a new manager, they will no longer be struggling.
Yeah.
So Manchester City will enter in a stretch of some difficult matches. So they will be out there to desperately wanting, because if they drop points here and their two losses in this season, they have both come away.
Yeah.
So a lot of things will be playing in Pep Guardiola's mind. But they will be desperately wanting to get points out of this. But then again, City enter this match with chances to win. And my prediction would be a 3-1 win. And a big news is the player from City who loves to score against Newcastle United, Sergio Aguero, he's out.
He just
loves scoring against the sight of Newcastle United excites him and he has scored plenty of goals. But he is out injured.
Well, moving on to the London Derby, Frank Lampard's Chelsea welcomed West Ham United at home. Now, Chelsea have gone two games without a win, where they lost to Manchester City, and then we just saw most recently the 2-2 draw to Valencia in the Champions League. But yet, before this, they've been in great form and they had 6 back-to-back wins before losing to City. So, I would see Chelsea coming back strong, and West Ham have been poor, wouldn't you say so, Prakar?
Yes, exactly. And that shows where they stand in the league as of now. They're 17 and just 3 points above the relegation zone. So, it's a matter of just a match or two, and they could be very well be in the relegation zone. And as we discussed at the start of this podcast, Manuel Pellegrini is one of the managers who come this Monday could be one of the managers seeing the exit door. So problems for West Ham United, and against a good Chelsea side, I don't see much of a bright prospect.
Minor injury concern for Chelsea, Tammy Abraham could miss this game. He walked off at halftime with a hip injury against Valencia, although he did walk out of the ground, but we are yet to confirm how serious that injury would be. Although I think it gives Chelsea a good opportunity to try out World Cup winner Olivier Giroud, who hasn't played so far. Also, Mickey Batshuayi isn't a bad option. Both of them are able to hold up play up front and bring the other wider players into picture, so that should be interesting. What's your prediction for this one then, Prakar?
Outright win for Chelsea, 2-0.
Same, I would say a comfortable victory. 2-0, Chelsea keep the clean sheet. Tottenham versus Bournemouth. Jose Mourinho's third game in charge. It's been an interesting start for Mourinho. He saw his side go to a 3-0 lead against West Ham before winning 3-2. West Ham did manage to get 2 goals back. And then in midweek, they were 2-0 down inside the first 15 minutes against Olympiacos. And Mourinho, being Mourinho, made a change within the first 20 minutes where he replaced Eric Dier with Eriksen. And eventually, Spurs went on to win that game 4-2. So it should be interesting to see what Mourinho does this time and how he sets up his team. But again, as we were talking last time about the change of attitude from Mourinho, immediately after the match, he came on to his press conference and he said, "You all have to understand that it was nothing against the player, it was purely a team change. And it was good of Eric Dier to understand that move, and I wanted a more attacking for player, that's why I brought it." So we can see Mourinho already showing some concern towards players' feelings.
Yes.
What about Bournemouth, though, Prakar?
Bournemouth are struggling, and Bournemouth come into this trip to Tottenham with on a run of just one win from their last 7 Premier League matches. Eddie Howe's side started their away campaign strongly, winning 2 of their 3 matches, but they have failed miserably on road since. So I don't see, against a revamped Tottenham side, I don't see much of a bright prospect for Bournemouth.
Well, quick predictions from this one then, Prakar?
3-1 for Tottenham.
Well, I think Tottenham sneak a 2-0 win. I don't see them leaking any goals, although Bournemouth do have a good attacking lineup there. Lastly, we move on to Manchester United versus Aston Villa at Old Trafford. What can we expect from Solskjaer's men here, Prakar?
Not sure which Manchester United will turn up on a given day. Last weekend, we saw them playing a 3-3 thriller against Sheffield United. And then a drubbing, serious embarrassment in Europa League against Astana, where they lost 2-1. Okay, so not sure. At times, they look like a promising team that their bad times are finally done and dusted, and now they will push for a top 4 spot, but then a bad patch of form hits them. So it's very difficult, and that's because they have been blighted by the injuries of their key players. Paul Pogba has not played for 2 months now, but he should be come December he should be back, and Luke Shaw is recovering, and Luke Shaw should be back. And but more importantly, if we talk about Astana's game, it will go on record as a loss. But the thing is, Solskjaer did not play his entire first team. In fact, their assistant coach Michael Carrick, he also did not play any part in the match against Astana. So Solskjaer's focus is against Aston Villa, so all the main players will be fresh, they will be re-energized, and they would want to go for a win at Old Trafford. What about Aston Villa?
Well, speaking about Aston Villa, I have a soft corner this year around for all the newly promoted side, and I really like them, all three of them, Sheffield United, Aston Villa and Norwich City. They're all teams who love taking the fight to the other team, and Villa got a very positive result last week out. It was a 2-0 victory against Newcastle, which pulled them out of the relegation zone. And I guess they would want to build on that. And they've had this incredible midfield where they are just creating opportunities. And sooner or later, they're just going to convert all of them, I feel. So it's not going to be an easy outing for Manchester United, definitely. And playing at Old Trafford, I always feel Solskjaer struggles more when the ball is in his court. When, okay, now you got to create. And if Villa just sit back, absorb a little pressure and attack on the counter, we could see an interesting game playing out here. What about your predictions for this one then, Prakar?
I see a 2-0 win for Manchester United.
Well, I see United just about nicking it 2-1. Other interesting games to look forward to this week, Prakar. I think the Leicester-Everton game is interesting because Leicester are right now in number 2 and Everton, because Marco Silva is clearly struggling there, isn't he?
Yes. And in fact, there was strong news that Marco Silva could be sacked very soon and that could see the return of David Moyes back in the Everton dugout. But yes, his job is also under threat, and with the kind of brilliant football that Leicester is playing. So that could be one of the matches to watch out for.
Another interesting manager who's been linked with Everton is Mikel Arteta, who's at Manchester City right now, assistant coach. I doubt Arteta would take that up, but if you ask the Everton fans, they are buzzing for Arteta and they are not too keen to see Moyes return.
Oh, yes.
Well, lastly, another quick game just to touch upon is Wolves at home against Sheffield United, a battle for fifth place, and who would have thought that a newly promoted side would be pushing for this in their first season. So Wolves on 19 points there and Sheffield United just 1 point behind them, and both these teams interestingly ahead of the powerhouses of Arsenal, Manchester United and Tottenham, who are in 8th, 9th and 10th position respectively. Moving on to the Fantasy Premier League, any tips for our listeners this week, Prakar, for game week 14?
I see Liverpool finally managing a clean sheet that has not been coming. You can fill your fantasy team with two Liverpool defenders.
The fullbacks would
The fullbacks could be good option, and as we have seen, they kind of they are always in the game, either taking free kicks or always in assists. So you can go on for Trent Alexander-Arnold or Andy Robertson. Now with Tottenham's worries gone, Tottenham's and Arsenal's worries gone, you can pick players from Tottenham and you can pick players from Arsenal as well.
Yeah. Well, I would still back Jamie Vardy. 7 goals and 3 assists in the last 5 game weeks is a good return. But I was thinking in the forward line for the listeners, if you want a cheaper option, I think backing Timo Pukki at 6.6 million. He hasn't scored in a while and he's coming up against a porous Arsenal defense who are known to concede goals. In fact, Arsenal are the only team in the top 10 to have a negative goal difference, minus 1. So Timo Pukki would be a good choice. I think Christian Pulisic is knocking on the doors to be one of the big players in the FPL, and he comes at just 7.5 million. And with Tammy Abraham missing, Pulisic would have more opportunity to cut in and take more shots on target. So that could be an interesting buy. And as you mentioned, the Tottenham trio, I think Son, Moura and Harry Kane would be good picks because all three of them have goal scoring abilities. But the most interesting player who I've seen transformed with Mourinho's presence is Dele Alli. So Dele Alli, when Mourinho came into the club, he said that we haven't seen Dele Alli perform so far. That's Dele Alli's brother.
Oh, okay.
He said that is like Dele Alli has been sending his brother to play. And in their first game, when Mourinho took charge, he asked Dele Alli, is it Dele Alli or is it your brother? And Dele Alli said, it's me. He said, then play like that. And we've seen Dele Alli performing spectacularly.
Okay.
He created goals in that first outing. He was again impressive against Olympiacos. So I think bringing Dele Alli back into your side, he hasn't hit the highs that he has hit in previous seasons, but he's slowly getting there. So that could be a good buy.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
That brings us to the end of this segment of On The Ball. Thanks, Prakar, for all your inputs.
It was great. And let's see, come next episode of On The Ball, if we have more managerial changes.
And some new exciting managers entering the Premier League. Well, for all you listeners out there, if you'd like to comment on any of the topics covered in this podcast, feel free to email us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and other updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.